Is it possible to be entrepreneurial and start a business during training? What are some of the challenges and things you have to learn along the way when building a business from scratch? How do doctors learn about raising funds and investment? Learn the answers to these questions and many more on this episode of the Talk to Me Doc podcast. Before we get into the show, here's a quick message from MR Insurance, a small business that helps physicians with their disability insurance needs. Michael L. Ralvis is a CFP professional and insurance agent committed to helping physicians nationwide with their term life and disability insurance needs. He provides an objective, transparent, and education-focused process that aims to help physicians to make prudent decisions and avoid overcomplicating things. He exclusively offers own occupation disability insurance policies for residents, fellows, and attending physicians. We really like Michael and know he's got your best interest at heart when it comes to disability insurance. We know he'd be happy to help you with whatever your needs are. You can find Michael at drpodcastnetwork.com/MR Insurance or contact him at 1-800-817-4522.
Welcome to the Talk to Me Doc podcast, where it's all about serving the early career physician. Let's talk about the unique issues that face us so we can create a better future for ourselves and those to come. And now your host, Dr. Andrew Tisser.
Hey everybody, it's Andrew, and welcome back to the Talk to Me Doc podcast. I am so happy you're here. For my returning listeners, welcome back. For my new listeners, welcome. You're in the right place because today, like on every episode, we're bringing you the best guests from all around healthcare and beyond to discuss issues relating to the early career physician. Today's guest is Dr. Greg Hansen. Greg is a PGY3 interventional radiology resident in Philadelphia. He graduated from UCLA with his bachelor's in atmospheric and oceanic sciences before moving across the country to New York City. While in New York, Greg obtained his Master of Public Health degree in epidemiology with an advanced certificate in applied biostatistics. He then went on to do his medical training at Dartmouth Medical School in Hanover, New Hampshire. In June 2018, he started his postgraduate training with a surgical intern year before continuing his integrated interventional radiology residency. During his first year of diagnostic radiology, he began offering his consulting services to various clients by any means possible and was able to make additional side income to help support his family through residency training. This is what sparked the idea for FlipMD. Well, I'm excited. Let's get Greg onto the show. Dr. Greg Hansen, welcome to the Talk to Me Doc podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. Excited to chat.
As am I, sir. So I'm sure some people have kind of seen you floating around on social media as of late. But for those who don't know who you are, could you give us a little bit on who you are, what you do, and what your role is in medicine?
Sure. So I am technically a PGY3 interventional radiology resident here in Philadelphia. So about halfway through my training, we'll finish in 2024. And at the same time, my wife and I are building a company.
Well, short and sweet. I like it. So tell us about the company, what it is, what you're doing, and kind of where the whole idea came from.
Sure. So yeah, it kind of goes back to my intern year. So I did a surgical intern year here in Philadelphia. And, you know, like every other surgical resident, was working a ton of hours and then immediately transitioned over to diagnostic radiology, where I started working more like 45 hours a week. And at the same time, had some new bills that came due. So my daughter, who is 3 now, was just starting school. And so we needed to figure out a way to basically make a little extra money to pay for that. Plus, we bought a house down in South Philly kind of at the end of intern year. So we had a bunch of new bills that were coming up to be paid. And I couldn't moonlight at the time. And so I would spend some time finding side jobs. So anything I could get my hands on, I have an MPH in biostatistics and epidemiology. And so I would do data analysis work, writing jobs, ghostwriting some manuscripts for some researchers, really anything I could get my hands on that would pay me a little bit of money outside of medicine. And from there, we basically had an idea of creating that same type of market specifically for a larger physician audience. And so that's how the idea for FlipMD came about, was really to create a marketplace for physicians to come in and say, I'm available. I have a bunch of skills and expertise that really nobody else in the world has. And let me see if I can basically monetize that. And we also get clients into the platform to post jobs for our physicians to take. And that's kind of how the idea for FlipMD came about. And that was, the idea was actually in June. We actually launched the platform, I think July 27th. And from there on, it's kind of been building up both sides of the marketplace. And now we're in a very different spot and things are getting interesting.
Yes, definitely so. So, I mean, I love that. And for anyone who listens to the show, you know, I talk about side jobs all the time, and I have had millions of them at this point. But it can be very difficult to know where to start or to find them. And I think your platform, you know, full disclosure, I'm signed up, but I know your platform makes it pretty easy to connect the experienced physician with the company. And there's all kinds of different opportunities on there, from writing to expert witness to all kinds of different stuff. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, it's definitely it's an interesting thing to build a marketplace, because it is two-sided, right? So you have to basically appeal to physicians and say, we're trying to aggregate as many of these types of jobs with, so you don't have to spend the time to find where they are. And then on the other side, it's, you know, we're selling to the clients and saying, we have a bunch of physicians that are interested in working with you. So that's kind of the hardest part, is figuring out a balance between the two sides. But it is honestly a ton of fun to be able to get on Zoom calls with CEOs and COOs of different companies and saying, hey, we have this new product, do you want to try it out?
Yeah, that's awesome. And you know, it's funny, because some of the clients that I work with and some other people I talk to that want to start businesses will always say, well, you know, I don't have any time. I'm a practicing physician. I mean, you're a resident. You have the least amount of time out of anybody, right? I mean, and you've been able to get something moving in really a short amount of time that's gaining quite a bit of traction. So tell me a little bit more about like what that was like to actually go from the idea stage to implementation and to start getting some traction in regards to your company.
Yeah, that's a great question. So with me, I tried to, after that surgical intern year, really tried to keep those types of hours. So doing something, whether that was like, I've built my kitchen table, I've built an outside kitchen in my little backyard that we have in South Philly. Like, I'm always doing something outside of just medicine. And because I have the time, right? Like, I do have the time now to do other things, and it's really about being efficient. And that's kind of the way that we built this company, is we figured out where could I spend some time doing it. And a lot of that is in the morning. So waking up at 4:30 a.m. and doing some work. And then after I put my daughter down for bed, doing some more work. And also, it's not just me, it's my wife and I that are actually doing this together. And without her, this would never have actually happened or taken off. She basically runs the day-to-day, the working with our developer to improve the technology, and basically every aspect of the company is done by her. It's really me just getting on Zoom calls with people and saying, hey, this exists, do you want to try it? So you can always kind of find time if you want to do something kind of enough. And luckily we were able to do that this past year.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really true. You know, you see all the quotes all the time that, you know, Bill Gates has the same 24 hours a day as you do, et cetera. But that really is true. I mean, you know, I often wake up at, if I'm going to work at 7, I'll often wake up at 5 and get some things done for my business and or for the podcast or what have you. And, you know, I personally don't, I have family times after 5, but, and I don't do anything else. But at the end of the day, if I wanted to really work some more, I could there as well. So you find time in between things to get done what you really want to get done. The you know, as far as entrepreneurship in general, like, did it scare you? Was it intimidating? Like, how do you have any kind of business background at all?
So yeah, absolutely no business background. Absolutely previously no interest in doing anything within the business world. I really just felt like it was kind of a good enough idea to at least give it a shot. And my wife and I basically had a time frame that said, if this doesn't pick up steam by like November, having launched it in really August, we were like, we're just not going to do it anymore. Luckily, it's kind of started to build up some traction. But yeah, absolutely no previous interest, no previous knowledge of how business or startups work. But we've learned a ton in the kind of 5 or 6 months we've been doing this, in terms of how do you start a company? How do you become a C Corp? How do you raise money? And so that's actually something that we're launching here in the next few weeks, is our own little podcast as well, that is kind of focused on physicians learning more about angel investing and investing in some of the companies potentially that we've seen along the way, as we've grown and worked with. And so basically it'd be kind of a pitch podcast for these companies to pitch to our physician audience and say, here's a product that's coming out, do you want to get involved? So yeah, absolutely no previous experience. Just kind of wanted to see what would happen with the company, with the idea. And I think that's the hardest part, to be honest, is like just starting. Like, how do you actually start? And so that's been extremely interesting. And it's been a fun, fun world to like become a part of. Talking to other founders is unlike anything else that I've experienced. Like, everyone is so nice within the startup world. They just want to help you succeed, which is shocking. But that's been kind of the most interesting and fun part for us, is to be able to have these conversations with people.
Yeah, I mean, I found that myself, you know, back when we could see people and in person. We have I'm up in Buffalo, New York, and we had a little startup coffee every week. There was an event, and there was like a little startup breakfast, and people would come and talk to each other. And it wasn't a pitch fest; it was just kind of brainstorming. And like, the really successful startups would be there from the day one startups, and everyone was just so helpful and willing to share ideas and share their network and whatnot. So I've definitely found that to be true in the startup world, which, yeah, I agree, is kind of shocking, right? Because you think it's more of like a, you know, I got to get my thing forward first before you can help others, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's been, I mean, it's honestly been fantastic just making these connections with people that, like, you've heard of their companies potentially, and now you're actually talking to them and figuring out how to create partnerships and how to work together and get jobs posted. And yeah, it's honestly a ton of fun. I would recommend it to anybody that wants to try this world out.
Yeah, you know what I've found, I don't know if this has been your experience as well, but in dealing with people in the business world rather than other physicians, I found that people are much more willing to collaborate for like the benefit of each other rather than like what's in it for me. You know, not to generalize, but I've found that like dealing with business people in general, they see the bigger picture of a rising tide raises all ships, et cetera, rather than sometimes it's like herding cats to get a bunch of doctors in a room, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, companies that we've spoken to are more than happy to try to figure out, you know, how we can create relationships that benefits both sides and helps both companies kind of grow. And yeah, I don't necessarily see that all the time in medicine. So yeah, it's a completely different world. And I don't know what the, you know, corporate business would be more like, but the startup world is definitely much more collaborative than anything I imagined.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are some of the challenges that you've run into over this, you know, really short amount of time you've been doing this, but I'm sure you've ran into plenty of hurdles. So what are some of the challenges you run into?
Easily kind of the most challenging thing is to figure out how to scale a company without a ton of capital, right? Like, everything we've done so far is bootstrapped. We are raising some capital now, which will make things a little bit different. But to really stay and be a lean startup that is more creative than just like throwing cash at a situation and saying, okay, like, we're just going to outspend people. So I think being creative and figuring out how to solve some of these problems, like, how do you get more physicians on the platform when you can't necessarily, you know, spend a ton of money on marketing? Or the same thing with the client side. So like, one thing that people don't realize about FlipMD is like, I have to actually sell the platform to people to post these jobs. It's not like we're aggregating job posts from other job sites. It's not that. It's really, there are opportunities out there. We just need to go out and find them and say that we have a solution to some of these people's problems. And that's what we do. And so a lot of it is me on LinkedIn cold messaging CEOs of companies and saying, hey, can we chat for a little bit about this project? And so that's been the hardest part, is just getting in front of more and more people to actually sell the platform. So now that we're raising a little bit of capital, that's going to change, and we'll have to be pretty strategic about how we spend that money in terms of continuing to grow the company in a way that makes sense.
Yeah, that's fair. How have you solved some of those marketing issues? Is it really just, so you're just kind of combing LinkedIn, or are there other ways? Podcasts like this, I'd imagine, help, but how else are you getting the word out there?
Yeah, so for the physician side, it's honestly a hard thing to figure out how to do. So yeah, podcasts definitely help, just to get physicians, you know, introduced to the concept of a gig economy. And that has been one of the hardest things to figure out how, because no one really in the physician side, or not a lot of them, have done this type of job or have used a platform like this. And so it's really kind of an education about how does it actually work? What information do I need to put out there and stuff like that? So yeah, a lot of it's been LinkedIn, using Facebook groups that are focused kind of on the non-clinical career side of things. I mean, I'm always posting basically when I have a job that we need more physicians for, because sometimes we get relatively big jobs that need a fair amount of physicians to be involved. And using the Facebook groups has been helpful. And people have been pretty good about, you know, responding and getting into the platform. But I mean, that is something we have to figure out, is like, what are the channels that we need to kind of hit to get more towards, you know, 10, 20, 30,000 physicians on the platform to really start making noise.
Yeah, that is a challenge, but that's great. So, I mean, I've certainly been seeing your company pop around here and again. So it's, some of it's working, unless we're just all in the same circles. Yeah.
Together. That might be the case. Who knows?
Yeah. It could be. Okay. So you said marketing was an issue. But you've been reaching out to people and putting yourself out there. Do you consider yourself an extrovert by nature? Is it easy for you to start up these conversations, or has that been kind of challenging itself?
It's become easier. I'm definitely not an extrovert at all. I wouldn't necessarily call myself an introvert either, though. Like, I've worked a couple, you know, sales jobs, but I've really kind of come into my own with having these conversations with people, especially like on the client side of things, and being able to sell the company and then also pitching it to investors. It's an entirely new world, but you figure out how it works. And I think medicine is actually helpful, right? Like, going through medical school, having to talk to patients, and then going through an intern year, especially doing a surgical intern year, and figuring out how to talk to patients and give them bad news a lot of times. And I think that's helpful. Like, you learn how to speak with people, and you learn that, hey, everyone's a human being. Even if you're a CEO of a company, like, you still have problems, and hopefully we can help you solve them. So yeah, it's definitely been a growing area of, I guess, my skill set, is to be able to do that. But it definitely was not like a natural thing. I was never like, you know, a used car salesman that can just like sell something. But it helps also when you actually build something that you're selling, you know it pretty well.
Yeah, that's true. I think physicians in general have this, like, I don't know what it is. They hate sales for whatever reason. It's seen as like this gross thing for people. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, you're selling your patients all day long, right? If you're trying to get them to choose a treatment you're recommending, or do what you tell them to do, right? You're selling them, but people don't see it that way. They see it as the used car salesman, like you've discussed. But it's really, sales is just convincing people of things. It doesn't have to be kind of this like gross situation that's not, it is in a lot of people's minds.
Exactly. Totally agree with that.
I don't know what it is. I don't know where it comes from. But so as far as like learning along the way, how have you been doing that? Have you had like mentors or people you've been working with, or coaches, or have you just been like reading books and Googling stuff?
It's been a little bit of everything. So when we first started getting into this, it was really listening to podcasts. There's a ton of great kind of startup focused podcasts. One of them being Masters of Scale, which is basically done by Reid Hoffman, who was the founder of LinkedIn, all about kind of how to scale your company. So those have been extremely helpful. And even listening to kind of the specific ones, whether that's, you know, creating the company or how to actually grow the company and scale, like, there's tons of information out there. On the other end would be actually a couple friends from high school who kind of got wind of what I was doing, and they're actually in kind of the startup world and have come on and actually become pretty trusted advisors to us in figuring out how to do some of the things that are more difficult to figure out how to do, like raise capital from people that make sense. So you really want strategic investors that are coming in that can help you grow the company. And so that's been very useful. And yeah, so there's a ton of resources out there in terms of, you know, learning how to do things, YouTube videos. There's, I don't know if you've ever heard of like the Dream It people here in Philly. It's kind of a startup accelerator incubator type situation. They have great videos on pitch decks and how to get your pitch deck in order and how to pitch angel investors and VCs. So there's a ton of information out there. You just have to be able to kind of find it and be interested enough to look for it.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm sure some people don't know what we're talking about too. So could you just explain what an angel investor is and VCs are for the people that are listening that are unfamiliar?
Sure. Yeah. So an angel investor is usually basically an accredited investor, which means you make a certain amount of money per year or you have a certain net worth. I think it's $200,000 a year or over $1 million in net worth. And those people, angel investors specifically look for early stage startup companies. So meaning pre-seed, seed, or potentially Series A, which is just terminology in terms of where you are in fundraising. And they will basically usually write a check size within the $25,000 to maybe $250,000 range. And basically betting on your company to do well. And then hopefully see, you know, a 3 times to 10 times return on their investment. So they're very early stage investors. So they would be kind of investing in something like our company, which is a seed stage company, up through potentially a Series A. In terms of a VC, that just stands for venture capitalist. So usually those are VC firms that invest a larger amount of money in usually Series A and after companies. So the bigger companies out there that you've heard of that have gone through all of these kind of Series A, B, C, and D, those are the kind of financial institutions that raise money in the kind of later stage. So it's less risky because you've already gotten past your seed into a Series A. And so those are kind of the larger check sizes in the couple million dollars rather than kind of low 200,000 area.
Sure. Oh, great. Thank you. That's helpful. And so what's, you're still pre-seed, you said. So what's coming next for FlipMD? What does the next year look like for you guys?
Yeah. So we're raising a seed round right now, which is, basically a $1 million seed round with, the initial $250,000 of that basically earmarked for the end of January. And so for us, it's really about how do we scale? How do we grow? And so we're going to start actually using some of that capital to redesign the website. So right now, if you've ever been to the website, it's not the most beautiful thing in the world, but maybe by the time this airs, maybe it'll be fixed already. But the user experience and the user interface definitely needs updating. It's really the website is our MVP product, which is just the minimally viable product to actually get into the market. And now that we have some capital, we're going to really dig down into the technology and hopefully stand up a prettier platform with the similar functionalities. And then in terms of a year, we have pretty big plans in terms of what we're going to do next. We're kind of keeping that under wraps a little bit, but hopefully it'll become more of a solution for larger companies, specifically kind of pharmaceutical and device companies. We have a kind of a strategy to go after those larger companies as we grow. And so that's kind of the teaser, but we're keeping that relatively under wraps in terms of what our actual plan is.
Hey, understandably so. So what does it feel like to deal with like angel investors? And once you start getting like larger investments in your company, I mean, for someone who has no business background at all, who's starting to have people really betting on them, you know, what kind of emotions does that bring up? How does that feel?
Yeah, I think it depends on who the investor is. Like, we have friends of mine that are investing in the company. It's like, yeah, I really don't want to, you know, squander your money. So I think emotionally it's yeah, I'm scared sometimes, but I'm also super, super excited because the vision that we have for the company is pretty big. And I think we can actually accomplish a lot. And so having these conversations with angel investors it's honestly a lot of fun because the whole point of an angel investor is to poke holes in your idea so that they know exactly what are the issues moving forward and how can we help you. And having those conversations is honestly a lot of fun because you get different perspectives on the company and you can also sell them on it and be like, yeah, this is our direction that we're going. If you don't think it's the right direction, I would love to hear why. And then you either, you know, incorporate their feedback or you say, I don't know if you actually know what you're talking about. So honestly, like these conversations are fun. Sometimes they're a little adversarial, but it's kind of all part of the startup world and the startup game.
Sure. That makes sense. So, I guess that leads me to one of my last questions here, but what, so do you encourage, physicians, even residents to pursue entrepreneurship? If they have an idea they think will be good, you think it's worth the angst and the sleepless nights at this point?
Yeah, if you have an idea that you can't stop thinking about, it's definitely worth it. Like this idea, when we first had it, just kept coming back and kept coming back. And I was like, let's just run with it and see what happens. And once you get into an idea, your idea unfolds and becomes this larger kind of vision of what you can possibly do with that original idea. And it's so much fun. Like it really is. Like I would encourage people that have, you know, ideas, whether it's for a medical device or a new platform or a way to fix medicine, you know, like there is so much possibility in medicine right now with the world, how it is with COVID and telehealth and all of these things that are just being completely disrupted. And getting involved in that makes sense because you are a physician. You know what the issues are. Like you can go out and solve them if you give it a shot. And if it's an idea that you just can't stop thinking about. And for us, that's what this idea is. Like it was my own problem, right? I needed to figure out how to make money on the side. And this is kind of a solution to that. And we're going to push it as far as we possibly can. So yeah, if you have an idea and you can't stop thinking about it, pursue it. Like you never know what's going to happen and the people you'll meet along the way that can really help you out and go from an idea to an actual product.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I mean, the nice thing is too, especially in the business circle, you know, if you make a mistake in medicine, very well, something really bad could happen to a person. If you make a mistake in business, probably not. So nothing too bad is going to happen, right? And all the big companies have made plenty of them along the way. So if you have, you know, I tell people all the time, if they have something that they're passionate about and they have an idea for it, you know, try it out for a little while, see how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like physicians have ideas every day. The question is, like, will they run with them and make them actually work? So if you have something that could potentially solve a problem within medicine, A, it's going to be a huge solution for your fellow physicians. And B, I guarantee you, if it's a large enough problem, you'll be able to actually pull it off by getting other people involved into your idea. It's amazing the world that you'll find that will be willing to support you if you just kind of make the effort.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, great, great advice. So I'm just going to shift the show a little bit to get to know you, Greg, as the guest a little bit better. I'm sure you don't have a ton of free time these days with everything going on, but if you do, what do you like to do for fun?
Nowadays, with COVID, that's an interesting question. When I'm not working or in the hospital, it's just really nice to spend time with my daughter. She's 3 and she's a little crazy person, but is so much fun. Like her personality is just blossoming right now. So anytime we get to play inside the house usually, or we'll go to kind of a random park where there's not a lot of people, anything I can do with her is fantastic.
Wow, that's great. And how about a book recommendation for the listeners?
Book recommendation. One of my favorite books, it's actually a nonfiction book that I read a couple years ago. It's called Shadow Divers. If you like kind of historical nonfiction books, this is a great one. It's pretty dramatic. So it's almost reads like a fiction book, but it's actually nonfiction. It's basically about a wreck that was identified off the coast of New Jersey, and kind of the historical implications it had based on kind of World War II. It's a great book if you're interested in kind of World War II and any scuba diving or shipwrecks. It's fantastic. It's a great book.
Awesome. Yeah. Put that in the show notes for the listeners. So FlipMD, flip-md.com is how we find your website. If we want to learn a little bit more about you or anything like that, how else can we find you?
Yeah, so you can email me, greg@flip-md.com, or you can find me on LinkedIn. The company is up on LinkedIn, so you can find me through that. I'm doing our social media as much as I can. So yeah, I mean, there's a variety of ways to reach out if you're interested in the company or interested in, you know, talking about an idea you have. Like, I would love to chat. So feel free to reach out.
Great. All that'll be in the show notes for the listeners. And if you could give the early career physician one single piece of advice, I know you've given us a lot already thus far, but what would that single piece of advice be?
Don't run away from what you want to do. That would be it. I mean, I am very, very early career, like as a resident.
True. So
not even attending yet, which I think most of your audience is. So I can't necessarily say what that would be. But for me, it's just don't run away from what you actually want to do. It's okay to do something else.
Well, that's absolutely true. And I think that extends into early attendinghood as well. So, Greg, it's been fun. Thanks for coming on the show and sharing FlipMD and what you guys have been doing. I think we're going to see some really big things with your company over the next year. And we really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on. Good to chat.
Absolutely. All right. Take care. Before we end, don't forget to reach out to MR Insurance Consultants, where their goal is to assist physicians in obtaining the most comprehensive coverage available to fit their unique situation. Reach out for both excellent and quality service at drpodcastnetwork.com/MR Insurance. What an amazing episode that was with Dr. Greg Hansen. Starting a business from scratch while a resident? This guy has got some drive. I found it interesting when he discussed some of the challenges, especially not knowing anything about business when he started, and his recommendation that everyone start a business that has an idea. I also found it interesting to learn about some of his struggles with marketing and learning to raise capital for his business. That's all we have for today. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please leave me an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, as it really helps get the show out there. The other thing I'd like you to do after listening is follow me on Instagram at @talk_me_doc_LLC. And as always, if you are a physician feeling dissatisfied with your career and are looking for some strategy to help get you to the next level, reach out to me at andrewtisserdo.com/SS. That's andrewtisserdo.com/SS. And book a time where I can share some of my insight. Take care, everyone, and be safe out there. And always remember, keep talking. All opinions expressed by the guest in this episode are solely the guest's opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Andrew Tisser DO, TalkToMe.LLC, or any affiliates thereof. The guest's opinions are based upon information he or she considers reliable, but Andrew Tisser DO, TalkToMe.LLC, nor any affiliates thereof warrant its completeness or accuracy. The guest, Andrew Tisser DO, TalkToMe.LLC, or any affiliates thereof are not under any obligation to update or correct any information provided in this episode. The guest's statements and opinions are subject to change without notice.